Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew continues in the Bible series in the book of James with this sermon entitled, Praying for the Sick, preached August the 24th, 2014. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to James chapter 5, verse 14.
The title is Praying for the Sick. Praying for those without strength. Praying for the sick in the church. In James 5:14 through 16, Pastor James's emphasis is on prayer for the sick in the church. It speaks about prayer of the elders, prayer of faith, prayer of the righteous, prayer to the Lord, prayer anointing with oil, prayer confessing sins, prayer in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of every believer. Let me tell you, friends, divine health and healing, generally speaking, are blessings from the Lord for His holy people. So we read in Exodus 15:26, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Or Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Keep His decrees and commands which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Or listen to St. John, 3 John verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Jesus asked the man who had been not well for 38 years, this is what he asked. Do you want to get well? That tells me some people seem to get used to their sicknesses. More the better. God heals the sick according to His sovereign will. James 4 and verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. In this passage, we are given the divine order for praying for those who are sick in Christ's holy church. God in Jesus Christ gives healing to the whole man. So we read in 103rd Psalm, He forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. We will deal with the issue, does God heal every sick person, in response to prayer at the end of this exposition. So the first point, the sick call for the elders. In James 5:13, he said, anyone in trouble, let him pray. Anyone happy, let him sing. Now the third condition. Anyone is sick, let him call the elders to pray for him. He is not speaking about cold or flu. he is referring to serious sickness. One is sick in bed for some time. He has no strength, asthenia. He has no strength to work. This sick person must take the initiative to call the elders of the church. Being a member or in good standing, if you are excommunicated, you have no elders to call. We read the story of a synagogue ruler whose 12-year-old daughter was sick and dying. He heard of Jesus, so he sent for Jesus to come and heal her. And he did. Mark chapter 5. Call the elders of the church. Christ builds his church. It's not a club. It is his church. I don't want anyone to join this church unless the Lord Jesus Christ adds you to this church. It is called the theology of prosthetics. If you just came, you will just go, because you have nothing to do with Jesus Christ or his church. Call the elders of the church. Christ builds his church. He adds members to it by saving them from their sins. Acts 2, 41 and 47. Some people claim they belong to the invisible universal church. No, the Bible says you must belong to a local church. The Bible speaks about church in Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, Rome, and so on. He must be a vital, obedient member of the church, loving and serving God and his people. He must belong to the one holy, universal, and apostolic church where God's word is preached and where Christ alone is the head. Where elders govern as Christ's appointed officers. So we read Ephesians 4:11. It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, meaning elders. Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Acts 20, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, King James, bishops. Be shepherds, pastors of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, elders, pastors, bishops. They all speak about the same people. Elders are pastors as well as overseers. The members are under their government, if you are a member of God's holy church. These elders are appointed by Christ and the Holy Spirit and recognized as such by the church. They are not hirelings. Call first the elders of the church. Not a government official in charge of health care. If you are a member of an invisible, floating, universal church, you have no elders to call. You are simply a deluded antinomian. So let me ask, do you belong to Christ's church, where the Bible is preached by learned and godly pastors? Notice, called the elders, plural. The work of the church is not a one-man ministry. Titus 1 verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. Second, they pray over him, anointing with oil. The sick believes that God would heal him based on this scripture. He or she has been examining his or her life while lying in the bed of sickness for quite some time. You see, the Lord makes you lie down to think, to examine, to humble, to find out what did you do 30 years ago. 25 years ago, things you never repented, confessed, and so on. And he deals with you. He or she has been examining his or her life. It may be that the Holy Spirit revealed to the sick certain sins he had committed in the past, which he failed to confess, repent, and forsake. Proverbs 28 verse 13, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And in 2 Samuel, you recently read 21 verse 1, during the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David finally sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord said, I brought you famine for 3 years because of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death. Let me tell you, God has a long memory of your unconfessed sin which you committed 50 years ago, 30 years ago, and so on. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32, a man ought to examine himself. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. God disciplines his people for disobedience. Jesus is Lord. He must be obeyed. His will is revealed in the Bible. Therefore, one must read the Bible and do what is right in the sight of God. If not, God uses his rod of discipline to drive out foolishness and to impart the fear of the Lord. We must examine our heart and ask God to examine also. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will drive it out. Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction not only drives out foolishness, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Spare the rod and spoil your children. So we must examine ourselves and ask God to examine, because sometimes He examines and says everything is all right. But we didn't examine as God would examine. Psalm 139, verse 24, this is a prayer to God. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we are stubborn and unrepentant, God uses weakness, sickness, and even death to correct us. I already read to you that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. The psalmist says in 119 Psalm, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. He gives you affliction to bring you back to the straight and narrow way of the will of God, that you may be blessed. Psalm 119, verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. God uses the rod of discipline to bring His people from wandering. Jesus tells this man whom He healed, John 5, verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. God uses adversity of various kinds to correct us and bless us. God does not tolerate autonomy in His people. So when you are in the bed of sickness, pray and examine yourselves to find out of certain unconfessed sins, that you may confess to the elders and to one another, that you may be healed. Confess especially the sin of arrogance and autonomy. David confessed his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, the sins of adultery and murder, because he was suffering from all kinds of psychosomatic diseases. He speaks about it in Psalm 32. When I kept silent, that is, refused to confess, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. That's the Greek word asthenia, lack of strength. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Don't go around and say, well, I never sinned anything. I don't remember anything. I have no idea. Don't lie before God. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Friends, God does not listen to the prayer of those who cherish sin in their heart. Psalm 66. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. So go to the person you offended, sinning against him. Confess your sins and receive forgiveness before you pray to God and call the elders to pray for your healing. Jesus said in Matthew 5, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Examine yourself in the light of the Word of God, not your opinion. The standard is the Bible, the whole Bible. If you had committed sins in the past, it shall be forgiven you. God forgives our sins, friends, based on Christ's atoning work on the cross. Having examined and repented, the sick person sent for the elders of his church. Two or more elders come. They read James 5:13 through 16. They question the sick person concerning the nature of sickness. They ask for any divine revelation of unconfessed sins of the past and so on. The patient confesses to the elders and God forgives his sins. In 1 John 1 verse 9 we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Elders anoint him with oil, symbolizing the healing power of Jesus Christ through the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so we read in Mark 6 verse 13, the apostles drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They lay hands on the sick and each elder prays for healing. A prayer of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They sing a hymn and pronounce a blessing. Then they go, leaving the issue in the Lord's hand. The text says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. This verse 15 assures that total healing, spiritual and physical, immediately or in due time. Prayer of faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. James 2:1. Faith in Christ's atonement. Faith in the whole scripture. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And Peter speaks the same, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It was Calvin's belief that this kind of healing was only for the apostolic age. But the text does not say that. The sick is not calling the apostles. The sick is calling for the permanent officers of the church, the elders. Prayer of faith, especially of the elders, is emphasized. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." He speaks to the woman who suffered for many years. In Mark 5 verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Acts 3:12, when Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk?" Apostle himself denies that this man's healing had nothing to do with his power or godliness. Now in Acts 3 verse 16 he says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Prayer of faith, sir. James 1:6, "But when you ask, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Prayer of faith, sir. Hebrews 11 verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." In response to the prayer of faith, the Lord himself raises the sick person. He is healed. His strength is back. He is ready in due time to serve the Lord. This prayer of faith is specific. It has to do with the healing of the sick person. And Jesus sent out apostles. Matthew 10:8, "Heal the sick, raise the dead," and so on. This prayer of elders who anoint the sick with oil for healing has absolutely nothing to do with the so-called sacrament of extreme unction. The Lord heals, not the elders. The Lord heals. The elders pray to the Lord. The elders pray for the sick. The elders come, anoint the sick with oil, and call upon the Lord Jesus to heal based on Christ's atoning work for sinners. Point number three. What is the key to a healthy church? Members of the church must confess their sins one to another. They must pray for one another, not just elders. And as we already said, you have to go to that person against whom you sinned and be reconciled. And if you have a brother who is sinning, you must go to him and tell him that he must repent. And God will forgive him. And you forgive him. In Mark 11 verse 25, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. What about in the home, husband and wife relationship? Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Ephesians 4:26 and 27, in your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Luke 17, so watch yourselves, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So we must go to the one we sinned against. We must confess our sins to him or her. The offender must forgive the offender. Both must pray for one another to stay spiritually healthy by not giving the devil an advantage against us. We must practice this principle at home, between husband and wife, parents and children, and among children. And we must practice this principle at work also. The offender also has a responsibility to go to the one who sinned against him, that he may repent, that peace may prevail. Above all, friends, above all, be filled with the Spirit, that we may not be easily offended for every silly reason. What great blessing comes to us through confession, forgiveness, and prayer. As a result, we are healed in the whole man, in spirit and in body. We have a healthy church, a healthy home, a healthy workplace. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful in its effects. Pastor's translation. Let me ask you, who is a righteous man? He is a justified man. He lives a righteous life, yet not a spiritual superman. He is not perfection. Friends, only at death the perfection of our spirit comes by divine action. A Christian is a sinner saved by grace. Still, sin dwells in him. He lives daily by repentance and faith. A Christian may sin, but he repents, he confesses, he forgives and receives forgiveness. He prays for one another. Such a person, I say, is a righteous person in God's sight. His prayer in the name of the Lord is very powerful in effects. Now, this verse gives me great comfort, great hope. Not prayer of the perfect and the sinless. But as Peter said, it is not my power or godliness that healed this person. It is Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Heal this person. And faith in him. And faith that comes from him to us. His prayer effects healing. Your prayer, my prayer, effects healing. This is the key to a healthy home and a healthy church. I will speak about the issue. Does prayer of faith bring about healing always? What does the Bible say? I'll give you 22 propositions, and it will keep you informed so that you have a systematic theological understanding of praying for the sick and healing. What does the scripture in its totality teach about healing? So, proposition number one, the Lord heals sick believers in response to elders' prayer of faith. That's a truth taught in the Bible. Anyone among you sick, call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick person. And the Lord will, what, sir? Raise him up. It's a verse that speaks about assurance that there is healing. The second proposition, and think carefully because it takes mind to think. The Lord will not heal all sick people in the church. Otherwise, we will live forever. Isn't that true? So you see, systematic theology is important. The Lord will not heal all sick people in the church. Otherwise, we will live forever. Only those who are alive at Christ's return will not experience death. We read, it is appointed for man once to die, and then comes the judgment. However, believers who die go immediately to God's presence, that is to paradise, in their perfected spirit. They are truly blessed. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Their death is not a loss, but a gain for them. Paul said that to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you have only hope in this world, you are what, sir? To be pitied, and you are most miserable. And I command you and beseech you to love the world to come, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, who is presently seated on the right hand of God the Father, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth is given. Number three, some will not be healed for their own greater spiritual good. So let me read these verses to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. What's the word for that, sir? Rapture. The word rapture appears here. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. In other words, we will not experience death if we are alive when he comes. If you want more proof, 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. I said some people will not be healed for their own greater spiritual good. This happened to St. Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:7. To keep me from becoming conceited, arrogant. Let me tell you, that's the biggest sin in the world, to be proud. And I urge you, if you are arrogant, so it is a demon activity, arrogance. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Let me tell you, he was never healed. And this is true of a lot of people of God, like Calvin. Spurgeon, these were all people who continually suffered from certain disease that kept them from becoming arrogant but seeking God. Number four, God gives great grace to endure affliction. So St. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon us. Number five, God works in all things for our spiritual good, in prosperity and in adversity. So Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the writer to the Hebrews says this, Hebrews 12 verse 10, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, eternal good, that we may share in his holiness. That's the purpose of afflictions and trials that God sent our way. That we may share, what, sir? In his holiness. God's purpose for us that is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. Number six, healing or no healing is ultimately based on the will of God. And James told us in James 4:15, if it is the Lord's will. And Jesus himself prayed, Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. That means don't send me to the cross. Yet not my will, but thine be done. And it was the will of God that he go to the cross, that our sins may be forgiven, and that we may be brought to paradise. There is no other way. And thank God, Christ died for our sins. Number seven, God's purpose is not to make us rich and famous. God's eternal purpose is not to make us, what, sir? Rich and famous, but to make us holy and blameless, to enjoy eternal fellowship with him. Beatific vision. So we read in Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in the same epistle, Ephesians 5:25 through 27, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Look at this. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word of God, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And let me tell you, God will achieve that purpose in his elect people. Number eight, some are not healed of their diseases because they refuse to repent. The Bible says, do not conceal your sin, but confess and what, sir? Forsake, and you will receive mercy. Elsewhere we read, for this reason many of you are weak and sick, and many sleep. For this reason means what, sir? Because of sin. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our first problem is sin. Sin, sickness, death. Proposition 9. All healing by means of prayer, as well as prayer and medicine, is from God. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Number 10, all healing involves body and soul. All healing is total. Number 11, all healing is based on Christ's atonement for our sins, because sin is the basic problem. So we read in 1 Peter 2:24, He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Number 12. Some sickness is due to specific sins. John 5:14. He asked the man who received healing from Jesus. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. That doesn't mean every sickness is due to sin. It is not. John chapter 9 verse 2. There is the man born blind. They asked Jesus the question, who sinned? He or his parents? Jesus said, no. This happened for the glory of God. So, we cannot say every sickness is due to sin. Number 13. Some people do not want to be healed. For instance, Acts chapter 3, there was a man born lame and was brought to a beautiful gate. And he heard about Jesus and what he did. He heard the story of how Jesus healed people and the apostles are healing people. But he didn't ask for any healing. He asked for money. Let me tell you, for many people, sickness becomes a way of making a living. They don't want to be healed. They are gotten used to. In fact, they want more sicknesses to be added to the list to get disability and various things. More and more. And you get all kinds of syndrome. So he begged for money because of his condition. But blind Bartimaeus said, I don't want money. Jesus, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped, said, what do you want? I want sight. And he was given sight. Don't get used to your what's a sickness. It has become an asset. And then you can tell other people to take care of you. Wife can tell the husband, you know I am sick. You take care of me for the rest of my life. And the husband says to the wife and all that. May God give us an understanding to receive grace from God. Number 14, God uses His medicine. You know medicine belongs to Him? It is His medicine. Also, His medicine also for healing. Timothy, how many of you know Timothy was a semi-invalid? 1 Timothy 5:23. It says, stop drinking water. That's how in the Greek. But English translation, stop only drinking water. And use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent sicknesses. Just like St. Paul, this man was not healed either. Paul could not heal him in God's will. Frequent sicknesses. Number 15, it is not a sign of great faith to refuse medicine and die. To receive medical help is not a sign of unbelief. Number 16, James 5:13-16 has absolutely nothing to do with the superstition of the so-called sacrament of extreme unction. Sacrament of extreme unction is given to people who die. But that's not what the text is saying. You come and pray that they live. Number 17, Trophimus was not healed, even though Apostle Paul himself prayed for him. 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. He prayed, but he was not healed. So Paul had to leave. Number 18, healing may take place gradually in response to prayer of faith. Case in point, Epaphroditus, Philippians 2:27. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, eventually he was healed. What I'm teaching is important for you to understand. Otherwise, you will have misunderstanding. Number 19, praying for the sick by the elders continues till the return of Christ. In other words, I disagree with great John Calvin, who said it was for the apostolic age only. Number 20, some die prematurely because they are proud and so refuse to repent. 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this reason many of you are weak and sick, and what? Many die. That's premature death. 2 Chronicles 16, King Asa was a great man who began in faith, but then he became arrogant. He refused to believe in God. And a prophet, Hanani, came and rebuked him. You know what he did? He put him in prison. Possible they put his feet in stocks. You know what God did? He gave the king a disease in his feet. And even in his disease, he refused to repent and seek God. And God killed him. Number 21. It is the general will of God. There is exception to this. That his covenant people be prosperous and healthy. Psalm 1 verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. And 3 John verse 2, dear friend, writes Apostle John, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well, soul and body. It is the general will of God. Number 22, let us thank God for the privilege of prayer. For the prayer of the righteous is very powerful in its effects. There are no sinless people in the world. But we sin, but we repent and believe, turn to God. Such a person is called righteous. Thank God he hears my prayers and your prayers. We are not perfect. You know when you are going to be perfect, sir? When you die. Question 37. In the shorter catechism. So let us keep on praying and experience God's deliverance, healing, blessing upon our life. It's a privilege given to you by God. And Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, and so on. So we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, be joyful occasionally. Is that what it says, sir? It is not occasionally. Be joyful what, sir? Always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about what, sir? Anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the privilege of prayer, sir. Ephesians 6:18, St. Paul tells us at the conclusion of his letter to the Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, God raised up a man, his name is George Mueller, a German Lutheran man, came to England. God raised him up to teach us all to pray. And he kept diaries how God answered specific prayers. He never begged for a dime. He had thousands and thousands of orphans in the orphanages. And all the monies came by divine action to take care of these. George Mueller, you should read it. How he prayed and prayed and prayed and God answered it. He prayed for the salvation of certain people, and God saved them, and some of them God saved after his death. That's the truth. Thank God for the rights we have before God the Father to pray. You are welcome to come to God's presence. No appointment necessary. So my translation, Pulu iskue deesis dikaiu energumene. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful in its effects. And I call upon us to try prayer and experience God answering prayers and helping us, guiding us, showing us the way to go, healing us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is a Savior of our soul and our body. There'll be glory in this truth, that God forgives our sins when we repent and confess and forsake and pray. We are a people of great hope because we have a God who forgives our sins in Jesus Christ. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.